Chapter 8. An Unexpected Turn. The Rest of Mr. Lockwood's Story. After leaving Thrushcross Grange and living in London for a few months, my affairs once again took me close to Wuthering Heights. Because I still owed Heathcliff some rent money for Thrushcross Grange, I decided to pay him a visit. When I got to the gate of Wuthering Heights, I was surprised to find that it was unlocked. Stepping inside the gate, I was shocked to find the yard full of flowers and the house's doors and windows wide open. I received a third shock when I saw Miss Cathy and Hareton inside, sitting happily beside one another reading a book.
"Necessary," Cathy was saying sweetly. "Say it right." "I'll try, but I want a kiss if I get it right," replied Hareton. I was amazed at how different he looked.
He was clean and well-dressed, and he spoke in a cheerful, pleasant voice. Soon they rose to come out for a walk, and I slipped around the back and found Nellie singing in the kitchen.
"Hello, Nellie," I said. "Where's Mr. Heathcliff?"
"Heathcliff?" she repeated, surprised. "But why would he be here? He has been dead for 3 months. Sit down and let me tell you all about it."
And so Mrs. Dean began to tell of Heathcliff's final days.
"Heathcliff called me to Wuthering Heights soon after you left for London. To my great surprise, Cathy had begun to try to speak to Hareton. She had decided to be his friend. One day, she placed a book in Hareton's hands, but thinking that she was making fun of him, he threw it on the ground. For weeks, she tried to be kind to him, but he would always leave when she tried to speak to him. However, when he hurt himself badly out on the farm and was forced to sit in the kitchen all day, she had her chance.
Mrs. Dean then told me how she had overheard Cathy and Hareton speaking one morning.
"Hareton," Cathy said, "I want to be your friend now."
"Get away," Hareton said roughly. "Go to the devil."
"No," she said. "Please, Hareton, be my friend."
"Stop playing your tricks," he shouted. "You hate me."
"It is not I who hate you," Cathy cried. "It is you who hate me."
"You're a damned liar," said Hareton. "I have tried to be kind to you 100 times, but you only ever laughed at me."
"I was miserable and I hated everyone," said Cathy, drying her eyes. "But now I thank you and beg you to forgive me."
And with that, Mrs. Dean continued, Cathy bent down and kissed him on the cheek. Hareton was completely surprised. His face went bright red, and he stared hard at the ground for several minutes. But from then on, the old enemies were friends. The next day at lunch, the naughty young thing started silently trying to make Hareton laugh, until finally he let out a small laugh. Heathcliff started, looked fiercely around the table, and thinking it was Cathy who had laughed, said,
"I thought I had cured you of laughing. It is a good thing that you were out of my reach."
Hareton, looking down, replied that it was he who had laughed. Heathcliff asked him why he had laughed. Cathy replied for him,
"Because we want to be happy. I'm the one to blame."
Heathcliff looked amazed and demanded,
"And who the devil gave you permission to laugh? And who told you to obey her?"
he asked, turning to Hareton. Before Hareton could answer, Cathy asked,
"Why shouldn't I be able to laugh?"
Heathcliff shouted at her to be silent. Then he ordered,
"Get out!"
But Cathy simply answered,
"Hareton and I are friends now, and I will tell him all about you. If you strike me, Hareton will strike you."
Hareton quickly said,
"Hush, don't speak to him like that."
Heathcliff grabbed her hair and raised his hand, but suddenly he looked straight in her eyes, relaxed, and let her go.
"You really do look like your mother when you are angry," he said. "You must learn not to make me angry, or I really will murder you sometime. Now get out, all of you!"
Later, Heathcliff came into the kitchen where I was working.
"This is a bad ending, isn't it?" he said sadly. "Finally, my revenge is complete, and everything is ready for me to do as I please. But now that I'm here, I'm letting them be happy. What a terrible conclusion. But what is the use of it all? I've lost my desire to hurt them. It is as though my ability to enjoy their destruction is gone.
He was silent for a time before he continued,
Nellie, there is a strange change coming over me. I take so little interest in life that I hardly remember to eat and drink, and I have to remind myself to breathe, almost to remind my heart to beat. I feel that I have nothing left to live for.
From then on, Heathcliff didn't eat his meals with us. In fact, he barely ate at all. A few days later, I heard him go outside around midnight, and the next day he stayed in his room all day. That night, I went to bring him his supper. It was dark in the room, and I didn't see him at first. I nearly dropped the candle when I saw his face. He was smiling, and he really did look like a demon. He seemed to be staring at something near me, but looking around, I found nothing there. I motioned with the tray holding his dinner and said, "Come now, Mr. Heathcliff, eat your supper." He didn't look at me. He was still smiling at the open space beside me. I would rather see him in a fit of anger than smiling like that. It scared me terribly. "Mr. Heathcliff," I begged, "please stop staring like that." He finally looked at me and said,
"Don't shout. Tell me, Nellie, are we alone in this room?"
Thinking he was mad, I said, "Of course." Leaving the room, I wondered if Heathcliff could really be a demon or the devil. I had spent most of my life near him, but I felt that it was impossible for me to know for sure that he really was just a man. Heathcliff stayed in his room all of the next day again. Finally, I sent for a doctor, but he locked his door and sent the doctor off without letting him enter. That night, he shouted through the door,
"Nellie, don't forget how I want to be buried. I want my coffin to be placed between Catherine's and Edgar's."
The next morning, we found him dead in Catherine's room, lying on her bed and smiling his terrible smile. I was stunned by his death, but I can't say I was sad. Hareton was the only one who really suffered. He sat by Heathcliff all night long, crying bitterly. Later, he filled in Heathcliff's grave himself, crying all the while. Heathcliff's grave looks peaceful, but people around here swear that he walks around at night. I don't know if I believe this, but I'll still be happy when we move back to the Grange. At this moment, Hareton and Kathy returned. I didn't want to disturb them, so I hurriedly bid Mrs. Dean goodbye and left. On my way back to Thrushcross Grange, I walked out onto the fields and found the place where Catherine, Heathcliff, and Edgar were buried. I stayed there for a moment, under a beautiful sky, listening to the wind. I wondered how anyone could ever imagine that the sleepers in this peaceful place were not resting soundly.